there's a lot of confusion here, and we may have done this before, very short and concise, and I see it didn't help, of what you're allowed to tell a goy to do on Shabbos and what not, and what you're allowed to benefit from and what not. And since there is a proliferation of goyim on the Moshav now available to do things. Huh?
There is a name.
Okay. I think it's important to give you at least an understanding. And I've chosen to use, just for my sake, to make things organized, this sefer, but not everything in the sefer is lahalacha. So just because I happen to be using the sefer doesn't mean that you can rely that everything in here is kahalacha, not lechumra, not lekula. Sanctity of Shabbos by Simcha Bunim Kohn. There are things in here that will say different than what he says, but he sets it up in a very, very good way, and to keep it organized, I'm going to use this as a base. Okay, first of all, why is Amira La'akum Aser? Telling a goy to do malacha, we'll see, sometimes even before Shabbos for Shabbos, sometimes even after Shabbos, what's it called, and sometimes on Shabbos for after Shabbos, and sometimes for Shabbos on Shabbos. So basically there are two reasons, and both reasons are applicable, but not all the time. So when either reason or both are applicable, the thing is prohibited. The first reason is because there are things that you're not allowed to talk about on Shabbos. And telling a goy to do malacha on Shabbos or after Shabbos, right, but you're telling him on Shabbos is aser because you're talking about malachas. So to talk about malachas in a way that is practical is aser. So therefore, you can't tell a goy to do a malacha on Shabbos for this reason, nor can you tell him to do it after Shabbos. Because the iser has nothing to do with when the goy does the malacha, it's talking about doing a malacha on Shabbos. There's another reason for the prohibition, and that is that even though we know that you can't make a goy, a shliach, but l'chumra, there is shlichus la'akum. Could be midrabanan, could be even minatorim. That if you make a goy an agent, he's your agent, and if he does it, it's like you did it. And even though normally we say ain shliach l'dvar aveira, but since for the goy it's not osur to do, therefore, if you tell the goy to do something, it's like you did it. Therefore, according to the first reason, it wouldn't be usher to tell a goy Friday to do a malach on Shabbos, because you're not talking about a malach on Shabbos. He's doing it on Shabbos. You didn't say anything on Shabbos. But according to the second reason, it's still prohibited, because you made him an agent, and when he does the malacha, he's doing it for you. It's like you did it. He's your agent. So that would prohibit telling a goy on Erev Shabbos to do a malach on Shabbos, right? And the first reason would prohibit telling him on Shabbos to do something Motzei Shabbos. And surely telling him on Shabbos to do something on Shabbos involves both reasons. Okay. Now, the, I don't know why he puts this first, but in any case. Maybe I didn't know why he puts it first. No, it's his order. Okay. Even though there are times that, or ways that it's permissible to hint to a goy to do a malacha, right, where you don't actually speak about the malacha, so that prohibition is not there. And you didn't actually tell him, command him to do it, so he's not your agent. He's basically taking the initiative on himself. But even in some of those cases, you're not allowed to benefit from the malacha. There's two problems here. One is telling a goy to do the malacha. The other is benefiting from the malacha. And they don't necessarily go together. Okay? You're not allowed to benefit from a malacha that was done by a goy on Shabbos, even if you didn't hint to him. He did it totally on his own for your sake. If he did it for his own sake, it's a different story completely. I'm not going into that. Because we're talking now about what happens here most of the time. Something happens in the house. You go run to get by the Migdals, by the Nordens, by the Shapiros, a goy to help you out. So the goy is doing it for you. So the question is, how can you tell him properly to do it? And are you allowed to benefit from it? You're not allowed to benefit from a goy's work because you're afraid that you may tell him to do it openly, even if he does it on his own initiative. Which kinds of work are you not allowed to benefit from? And it doesn't make a difference if the malacha is from the Torah or rabbinic. Except rabbinic malachas, there are certain leniencies. But under normal circumstances, it doesn't make a difference if the malacha is a malacha min haTorah or malacha min the Rabbanan. You're not allowed to benefit. What kind of benefit is for sure asur? Direct benefit from the malacha. Meaning, you tell a guy to turn on the light, and without that light, you could not have... it was a pitch black room, and the light made it light, but no other light. That's called direct benefit, and that's asur. You can't use that light. Okay? And not only that, not only can't you hint to the goy or tell him for sure not, but if the goy comes into your house and sees you have a dark room and says, oh, I'd like to turn on the light for you, you have to protest and stop him from doing it. Can't even let him do it, let alone not hint to him. So in a situation where the malacha is asur, you can't benefit from the malacha, you can't hint to him, you can't even let him do it on his own, you have to protest and tell him you don't want him to do it. And that applies if you have a goya in the house too, and she offers to do something that does not fit into the category where you're allowed to benefit from it, you can't let her do it, or him.
You have to stop
okay.
Him.
What?
You have to stop
them. Right.
What if they also live there?
What?
What if, like, the guy lives there and they want the light for themselves?
Now, if they're doing it for themselves predominantly and it's not something that have to add something for you, one light is the same light, then it's okay. But they have to be doing it for themselves predominantly. Okay.
Can you close into
No question. The otherwise, we're never going to finish this and it's not going to be clear. Okay, now, that's direct benefit. A goy cooked something for you, a goy turned on a light where there was no light at all. Indirect benefit is where you're not benefiting directly from the malacha, but the malacha did something that took away something and now you're benefiting from. The prime example is turning off a light. A goy turns off a light in a room that the light's on, you can't sleep. You're not benefiting from his turning off the light directly. The turning off the light just took away the light, and now you're benefiting from the darkness. So it's an indirect benefit. That, according to most posts, and that's the way we hold it, at least, is okay. That you could benefit. Okay. You still can't tell a goy, turn off the light. Because that's the second problem, the other problem of telling him, either by speaking about malach or by making him an agent. So you may be able to benefit if the goy walked into your house and said, oh, I see that your light is on your bedroom. I'd like to turn it off. You don't have to stop him. You can let him do it, and you can benefit from it. But if he doesn't happen to stop by your house and see it himself, right, you want to let him know to do it, then you're involved with the other problem of telling him you can't command him to do it, and you will see in 1 second how you can do it. But in that kind of case, there is a way to let him know to do it. You can benefit from it. And there's a way to tell him properly how to do it. Okay. Then there's another kind of case where you're allowed to have benefit, where it's not direct benefit. It is direct benefit, but it is not something that you couldn't have had benefit from without him, what he did. Example. You have a minimal amount of light in the room. So you could have eaten in that room. It's not pitch black, right? You could have read with difficulty. Then if the goy makes it lighter in the room, he adds to that situation, but the situation was minimally, you could have benefited minimally before what he did. That also is mutter. The extra benefit you can have, except you can't benefit from what you couldn't have benefited before, for instance. If there was such dim light in the room that you couldn't read, You could eat, right, you could see what you're eating, whatever, but you couldn't read. Then you're not allowed to read by the light that he added. Because then that part, you're benefiting directly, which you couldn't have possibly benefited before that. But anything you could have benefited from minimally before, and now just better, it just bettered the situation that you can benefit from the malacha that the goy did. And that case also, you can hint to him to do it in the way that we'll discuss in a few minutes. Okay. But again, if it's direct benefit, then you can't hint to him. Not only you can't hint to him, you can't let him do it for you, even if he offers, without any hint. Okay. And if he does it, or you tell him, you can't have any benefit from it. Okay. There is a shaila like this, and sometimes we're machmer, sometimes not. Depends on the circumstance. A direct benefit that's not immediate, meaning the following. A house is locked. You can't get into your house. And the goy carries the key in Rishus HaRabim to open your house. Okay? Now, you're not benefiting directly from the key turning in the door or the goy carrying the key. You're benefiting from the result of that direct malacha, getting into the house. But you couldn't have gotten into the house. There's no other way you could have gotten into the house. If there's another way you could have gotten to the house, you just made it easier. You could have climbed up a railing and there's an open window and you could have gone in. Theoretically, you could have done that. It would have been a lot of bother, but opening the door obviously was easier. Then that's not direct benefit. That's, like we said, just making things better. But if there's no way to get into the house and the goy carried the key in Rishus HaRabim, and the only way you got into the house is because of the goy's malacha, there are those that hold that that's called direct benefit, and you're not allowed to go into the house. And there are those that hold that that's not called direct benefit, and you are allowed to go into the house. Any similar case, you have to ask a shayla. Sometimes for machmer, sometimes not. Okay. Next, no questions. Okay, next. So therefore, now that we go to how you can hint to a goy in a permissible way to do something for you, we're only talking about those things that fit into one of those two categories under normal circumstances. There are extenuating circumstances where it applies to other ways. But then you're most of the time allowed to tell them openly. The only time that you're not allowed to tell him openly, but you're allowed to hint, is in those kinds of things that if he does it, you're allowed to benefit from it. But if it's those kind of things that anyway you can't benefit from it, then you surely can't hint to him, and if he does it on his own, you have to stop him. Okay. Now, in those things where you're allowed to benefit, example, turning off a light. Okay, the light's on in your bedroom, you want the light off. There is minimal light in the room, and you want the lights put on. Okay? Then you have to hint to him in a way that's not a command. Two conditions. One is it's a hint, and it's not a commanding hint, meaning the following. Telling a goy, giving him a hint in a derech of a command, the Shulchan Aruch gives, the Gemara gives a case, you tell him in a code. You want him to fix up a candle so it'll burn better. Take off the carbon, the ash from the candle. So you tell him, pick your nose, right? And he gets the understanding that that means take the black off the candle. That's awesome. Even though it's a hint, but it's a direct command. That's awesome. That's awesome. On the other hand, The poskim we follow hold the following. There is a place to be machmer. We hold that you're allowed to hint to him in the following way. It's dark in here, and I can't turn on the light. Okay? Meaning, it's not pitch black because there is some light, otherwise it doesn't help to hint him. Right? But the lights went out, only the candles are burning, and we can't turn on the lights. That's not a command, and it's a, what's it called, it's a hint. We hold that that's okay. However, it's better to be machmer and not say it like that. Because there are poskim who hold, very harsh of a poskim, that if you mention the malacha, that's not called a hint anymore. If you say, we can't turn on the lights, then that in itself is amir lakum, because you're mentioning about the malach. So what you have to say is, it's dark in here. That's it. Not mention the malacha, not mention what you want him to do. Just give him a hint that he should take the hint. Now, if he's not too smart, he said, yes, it's real dark in here, I agree. That's the end of that. So what should I do about it? Right? You want me to do something? You can't say yes, because then you're commanding him to do something. You can't say, yes, I'd like you to turn on the lights, for sure not. You can't say, well, since it's dark in here, and we can't turn on the lights, because that you're back to where you started. So you have to say it again. Well, it's dark in here, right, and we can't do anything about it. She says, oh, would you like me to do something about it? So if the guy doesn't get the hint, then but it's only a chumrah. According to those who hold it, it's also to say it, you have no choice. But if you really go through this, you want to be machmer, and you go through this, and the goy doesn't get the hint, then you can be makel and tell him, yes, we can't turn on the light. He says, oh, yeah, but I can. And then you're okay. Right. Or he said, but if he says, gee, that's too bad. Right. That's too bad. So again, so if you are hinting to a goy, you should l'chatchila hint to him the way that we said that everybody holds is okay. You know, not everybody, but at least for sure we hold that that is okay. Right. You call the goy to the house and you say, we have a problem here. The lights are out, and it's dark. Finished. Okay. Without mentioning what you want him to do or what has to be done to correct the situation, the malacha. If that doesn't help, then you can hint to him the way that many poskim hold is okay. The lights are out. We can't turn on the lights because it's dark. Okay. You're not telling him what to do, but you're telling him clearly, right, what has to be done. That is okay. It's not l'chumrah, but it's okay. There is a bigger chumrah. According to this, this whole shiur is irrelevant. But we don't hold like that. But there are very chashuv poskim who do hold like that. And that is, the only time you could hint to a goy, in any hint, is if he's there in your house already. But to call him to the house, by calling him to the house, you already tell him you want to do something, just like commanding him. What are you calling him to the house for? Unless you call him to the house because you want to give him some schnapps or what's it called, have a little meal, and then you say, oh, while you're here already, by the way, right, you know, it's dark in here, and, right. So, it's basically, according to that sheet, it's irrelevant. Because unless you have one of these goyim in your house regularly, right, you're not going to be able to go get a goy to do whatever you have to do, even if you hint to him. But lamaisa, we don't hold like that. We should realize there's a shita like that. So if you hear somebody who says that we never call a goy to our house for anything, it's because they hold from this shita. Okay, you can't even hint to him without words, like, no, you have to call, Right. Okay. Okay. Now, that's the normal situation, okay, where there's no extenuating circumstances. In the following extenuating circumstances, there's a difference between if you want him to do a malacha that's min haTorah, like on Shabbos, turning on the light is a malacha min haTorah. If you want him to do cooking, right, turning on the gas, the electric on the stove, it's all malacha min haTorah. All of that is out of the question. Something that's only a malacha derabbanan, only a rabbinic prohibition, okay? There, you're allowed to tell the goy openly. But if you can hint to him, especially hint him in the mutterdika way, that's even better. Shouldn't do it bedafka by telling him if you can hint to him. So here, it's better to start by hinting, but if you can't, the hint, he won't get the hint, you could tell him openly with these things. If it's only a rabbinic prohibition, and obviously most of you are not qualified to decide what's asur min haTorah and what's only asur min haRabbanan. Okay, so therefore you have to ask a shaila whether it fits into the category or not. But under the following things, you're allowed to tell a goy openly. Again, lechatchila, better to hint to him. But you're allowed to tell him openly, if that doesn't help, to do a malacha that's only derabbanan if one of the following circumstances exist. You're going to have a substantial financial loss if he doesn't do it. He gives an example. You have meat in the freezer, a lot of meat. Now, you just made an order of meat for hundreds of shekel, and it's in your freezer, and the freezer went off. The fuse blew, right? And the circuit breaker went. And if you don't, and well, that's not so pasha because that may be an issur d'oraisa. It depends. It would depend on the situation. But that's not a good example. Because according to the Chazon Ish, putting up a circuit breaker is an issur d'oraisa. According to many other posts, it's only the rabbanan. What?
How is it different than a switch?
What?
How is it different than a switch?
No, it depends what you're doing. The Chazon Ish holds that making a circuit is an issur d'oraisa, binyan, min haTorah. Other poskim hold that at best there's an issur d'rabbanan here. In any case, let's see something that's really an issur d'rabbanan, purely an issur d'rabbanan. What would it be? Capturing some kind of animal that's loose in your house and causing havoc in the house and tremendous loss, breaking all your things or whatever. And it's the kind of animal people don't usually catch. So it's an issur d'rabbanan. You can call a goy and have him tell him to catch the animal. Since it's only issur d'rabbanan and there's a loss of money involved, you're allowed to come do that. For a mitzvah. Now, the mitzvah over here means a bona fide mitzvah that would not be mekuyim without telling the goy, okay, but not a more nebulous kind of mitzvah. I'll give you an example. I had a shaila over yontif. Somebody's fuse went, circuit breaker, and they had things on the plata. They wanted a goy to come, hint to them, right? The circuit breaker broke and we can't do anything about it, or whatever. So the goy would say, oh, fine, show me where it is, and pushes it up. Now the plata goes on, and the food heats up. So let's say that that's only an issur d'rabbanan. It's not so simple. Because on Yom Tov, pashtus, making a fire is an issur d'rabbanan, not an issur min haTorah. But making a circuit, according to the Chazon Ish, is an issur d'oraisa, even on Yom Tov. It's also binyan. So it's possible that putting the circuit back, when you're talking electricity, you have to always take the Chazon Ish into consideration, and maybe it's an issur d'oraisa. Let's say it would have been an issur d'rabbanan. Let's say that picking up the circuit breaker is only an issur d'rabbanan. So it's and they had food that they needed to be hot for Simchas Yom Tov. Simchas Yom Tov is a mitzvah. No, not a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah. But it's not an ikker mitzvah. You could be miyotze sudas yontif with lecha mishnah and wine, right? And you could put the food on somebody else's plata. You don't have to have this plata on. So you could fulfill that mitzvah in another way. You could fulfill it with something else. You could fill it with warm meat, not what's it called. People eat cold meat in the daytime too. So it's possible to fulfill that mitzvah minimally without the goy's work. That's not called a tzorich mitzvah. But you don't have any wine for kiddush. You can't make kiddush. So you need the goy to bring the wine, right? And in issur d'rabbanan, a place that's not a rishus harabim, d'oraisa, only mid'rabbanan, right? Or to do some other issur d'rabbanan, to bring you wine, to bring you challah, to bring you the minimum meal that you don't have a meal without that. And there's no other way to get it. That's called the tzorich mitzvah. Or you need a shofar. There's no shofar, right? And unless the goy brings it and carries it in a way that's awesome with the rabbanah, about to do with the tzorich mitzvah of shofar or any other mitzvah that's a bona fide mitzvah that the mitzvah would not be fulfilled at all if you didn't have the goy doing this malacha the rabbanah. That's a tzorich mitzvah. But in issur d'oraisa, even the tzorich mitzvah is not mutter. So if turning on the plata is an issur d'oraisa, right, then there's no heter. If cooking, the cooking that you're doing on the plata would be usher, right, on from Minat Torah, you couldn't have the goy put it on the thing either. The plata's on, it's just the food fell off. And putting it back on the plata is an issur d'rabbanan. For the reasons that you can't put it back, whatever the reasons are. It's only rabbinic, then you could tell the goy to put it back on the plata, since only an issur d'rabbanan. Okay. Another consideration is to alleviate considerable pain. Person has tzar, right? The mukum tzar also. It's mutter to tell a goy to do an issur d'rabbanan. And kavod abrius. Bathroom things, hygienic things, which is kavod abrius. Person's embarrassed because of something or whatever. Those are also factors. Okay, so therefore, to tell a goy to do an issur d'rabbanan, when one of those conditions apply, hefsid, tzorich mitzvah, kavod abrius, or tzar, that's mutter. Okay. Now, how about Torah prohibitions? That's only rabbinic prohibitions. Is there ever a case you can tell a goy to do an issur d'oraisa openly and benefit from it? So there are situations. One is bein hashmashos, which here is a very small window of time. It's from after shkia for about 15 to 18 minutes, 15 to 16 minutes after shkia. After that already, you have to be choshish that it's already night. So in those 15 minutes after shkia, you can tell a goy to do an issur d'oraisa. You can tell him to light candles. You forgot to light candles. You can tell the goy to light candles. You don't make a bracha. He doesn't make a bracha either. Right? But you watch the goy, you tell him to light candles. Or any other issur d'oraisa, if it's bein hashmashos. Next case, where it's an issur d'oraisa, but you're telling the goy to do it in a way that is a psik reisha. For instance, you forgot to take the bulb out of your refrigerator. And all your food for Shabbos is in the refrigerator. Okay? And, or even if it's not, because that's not the heter. So, but you have food in the refrigerator you want to take out to eat. You can tell the goy to open the refrigerator door. You're not telling him to turn on the light. For you it's osur because it's secretion. I only want to open the door, but the light goes on. So opening the door is like turning on the light. But the goy, there's no isra secretia by a goy. It doesn't exist. So he's opening a door. Right? The fact that he's turning on the light is only incidental, and that's okay. So that is what's it called, the second thing, where it's a psik reisha. And even bein hashmashos, it's only mutter if it's a tzorich godel, it's tzorich Shabbos, hefsid, there's some loss. Tam, you can't tell goyim to do things, or it's a tzorich mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. You forgot to light a yahrzeit candle. And what's it called? It's bein hashmashos, you can tell the goy to light the yahrzeit candle. It has to be tzorich mitzvah. But it's only bein hashmashos if it's a malacha d'oraisa, like lighting a candle, lighting a light. So there, bein hashmashos, like we said, is mutter l'tzorich mitzvah, hefsid, tzorich Shabbos, tzorich gadol. Okay. Psik reisha is also mutter. For a person who's sick, cholish she'ein bo sakana, doesn't mean somebody who's sneezing. It means somebody who's sick enough to get into bed, or he has such pain that it affects his entire body. That's called the cholish she'ein bo sakana. You're allowed to tell a goy to do even malachos d'oraisa for the sake of a cholish she'ein bo sakana. Meaning, you need aspirin. You don't have any in the house. You could tell a goy to drive to the pharmacy and buy you aspirin. If you need the aspirin because you're sick enough to get into bed, or a choli that affects your whole body. Okay. And if he does it for a chol shein bo sakana, right, and it's something that you don't have to add for somebody else, he turns on a light for a chol shein bo sakana. The guy needs a light on because he's a sick person or whatever, and turns on the light, then other people can benefit from the light too. Because light is the same thing for one person for 100 people. But if he cooks something for the whole Shein Bo Sakana. The guy needs something cooked. He's sick. He needs something cooked. He needs broth. So you're allowed to have the guy cook it, but nobody else is allowed to eat from that soup because we're afraid that he'll cook a little bit extra for the people who are not sick. So that's awesome. Okay. Sickness includes cold. When it's very, very cold, or the opposite of Moshe Feinstein says, it's very hot. You need the heat put on. You need the air conditioner put on. And you have people that are either children or old people in the house, or even younger people, but it's really cold or really hot. And people could get heat stroke or really get sick from the cold. Right? Under normal circumstances, not that cold, especially here in Eretz Yisrael, never that cold or that hot. But if you have old people or little children, babies, even little children up to three, who are very sensitive, then a child up to three and sometimes up to nine already has a din of a chol hashem bo sakana all the time for his needs. And therefore, if you need, it's too cold or it's too hot, you can rely on this and that situation. You can have a goy turn on an air conditioner, or if it's too cold because the air conditioner, have to turn off the air conditioner, or to turn on the heat. All of those things are mutter because of chol hashem bo sakana. Okay, another case where you're allowed to tell a goy to do a malacha d'oraisa is if it's something that's a tzorech harabim and it could cause a michshol. For instance, the Eruv breaks on Shabbos. The only way to fix it is with an issa d'oraisa, but people, you can't let everybody know, and people are going to be carrying shelo kedin. Then you're allowed to tell a goy. We did that in Miami many times. Tell a goy on Shabbos. I remember once I did it on the second day Rosh Hashanah. Erev Shabbos Shuvah. It was Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and the Erev broke on Friday. And we had, what's it called, a goy fix it, mamash on Friday, tell him exactly what to do, whatever, this is the raisa, because it would have been possible to get the message to everybody that the Erev was down, and people would have been carrying Shalok Adin. Okay, and for the sake of a bris milah also, there are a lot of malachas de raisa that are mutter to tell a goy, specifically for a bris. Not all of them, but certain ones. That's not nogea. Somebody has a bris on Shabbos, then you need a goy, that's kashayim. Okay, that is pretty much the halachas that are, I think that at least you have an idea of what the criteria are, and therefore it's important to ask a shayel, and you'll know what the shayel will depend on. Is this an issa d'oraisa? Is the rabban is a direct benefit, not direct benefit? How should you tell him? How should you not tell him? Those are the considerations that are relevant. Any questions now? Yeah.
Very frequently, go understands
that he needs to turn the lights there, whatever. Right. But then he's got this electrical panel there, and he has no idea because there's Shabbos clocks and there's all over the place and little things. So if you hold,
that as
long as you don't tell him what to do, but you say it in a hinting way, and you mention the malacha, that's okay, and
the
halacha we hold like that.
But he knows the
malacha
already.
No, I'm saying, you didn't tell him anything, right, that you're going to tell him. Well, we have to push this switch. Right? That, according to many, is also to do. Because pushing that switch is the malach. So you can't mention that. What you can say is, it's dark in here, right? Or the air conditioner, or the, whatever, something that's not a direct benefit. It really, the only kinds where there's some light and lights, or air conditioning, or a refrigerator where the food wouldn't spoil. It just adds a little bit to keep it cold, right? Those kind of situations. But a plata, right? If the plata goes off, the food will be cold. And therefore, when the food would be cold, had the plata been off, you can't eat it warm because it's direct the benefit. You couldn't have done it. It's like reading by a, what's it called, without that light, you couldn't read.
So you could eat it when it was cold.
You could eat it when it's cold, yeah. No, I'm saying you can eat it when it's cold, but the whole warmth is, that whole thing is because of the goy. You can't eat it warm. What are you saying? That's edible.
Yeah, but that's a difference. I can read it. I can, there's a little bit of light. I can read it much better at night.
Yeah, but if you couldn't read at all, no, but if you couldn't read at all, that size print, you not can't read that even.
No, but I couldn't eat this food. It was raw. He cooked it, then okay. I couldn't eat it or whatever. I'm not an edible.
Yeah, but the whole fact that it's warm is his doing. There's always warmth.
I mean, there's cold, there's room temperatures, and it gets warm. But it's edible in all stages.
Because it's cooked completely. Right. It's just that it's not a particular natural.
But what about if you came to a place like we were saying, you came to the electric panel?
Okay, so 1 second. So therefore, according to those sheet, there's nothing you can do. According to the other sheet, which we pretty much are from the Khan. So then, as long as you don't tell him, you have to push this and that, that's for sure also. If you say, look, he's doing it for you.
You just tell him, I don't know, and then he'll come it down, and then... Once you get the one you want, you just tell him stop.
Well, say this one doesn't turn it on. And
it's going to go work.
In the case, there's only one down. The main switch.
Uh-oh, you just reminded me of another thing. Yeah, okay, what's that? So yeah, somehow all you can do is give him a non-commanding hint. Nothing more than that.
Like,
how to do it, that's all.
None of these are going to have an effect.
Right. Okay, yeah. Right. So if he says, okay, and then if he says, well, you mean that this one is the one you want me to do? You can't say yes. You say, well, I don't really care if you do the other ones. That's not going to help.
You just say, please don't do the other ones.
You'd be like...
And that just reminded me of another thing. What happens if the whole electricity goes off in the house? And... It's cold, and because of that, the heat's off. Okay? So he's allowed now to turn it on for the heat. But when he turns on the heat, the plata goes on. And so does the lights in the dark room. Okay? That's now dark. Are you allowed to be in the hemis? Since Lemaisa, you were allowed to tell him to put up that switch because that's for the sake of something that's mutter, the heating, right, or the air conditioning. But... indirectly, everything else went on because of that. That's a big machlokus. Some hold that you can only benefit from the direct thing that you're allowed to benefit from, even though it all is with the same mice. And others hold, no, since you can benefit from this, you benefit from the other ones also. So it's similar, but not the exact same thing, obviously, that if he does a malacha for a person sick, even people are not sick, as long as not something he can do. But here, each mice, it's the same switch for everything. Right? As long as you don't turn off anything specifically, it's all one mice. But the mice, it's different things. It's not the same. It's not the same thing. So there are those posting who hold that you can't, you can only be nehemah from the thing that you're allowed to be nehemah from, and all the other things that if it had been only that thing, you wouldn't have been allowed to do it, or be nehemah, you still can't be nehemah from. And others hold, no, it's a package deal. In each case, it's to hear what the malacha is and what the other conditions are. Sometimes we make them, sometimes not. That's who it is and how much they pay. Yeah. They, what?
They were good.
On Shabbat morning,
yeah.
And lifted up, and the light goes on. But it's now daytime.
Yeah, so now you can read in that room because you don't need his light.
So can I read then in the evening?
No, but now when the sun goes down and the Ravansha puts off the lights, now you can only use that thing till Shabbos is over, obviously, right? What you could have done had minimally, at least, without his light. You could do it better with his light, but you could have done it minimally. What you couldn't have done even minimally without his light, you can't do anymore. So after Shabbos Shulis Lachar, you can't have any more reason. But if it's a Tzorich Mitzvah, right, like we said, what's it called? You can't bench otherwise. You won't be able to bench. And the time will go by the time of the Marav time, right? You know, so here we're talking about the benefit, not telling him to do it, right? Benefit after the fact, right? And it was not a direct benefit, it was only partial. So then the Tzorach Mitzvah, that's also mutter. So that'd
be my idea. Well, what about, like say, that for an Eshed Rabbanan, or you could tell him it's for a Tzorach, for a Muslim money, whatever. So what about... to do an Issa Daraisa with the Shinui. So it's going to
start. Yes, that there are
like, there's like different... turn on the light of your elbow. I'm lighting into Rabbanan. Right.
Yeah, so there are possibilities of, by a Daraisa, to tell one Goy to tell another Goy. And the second Goy only heard it from the first Goy, not from you. He didn't hear you, right? You know, Wang tell John that
whatever. Are they all one?
The long switch.
That's a possibility. It's not always, and with a shinui also, not everything is called a shinui. For instance, by writing, shinui is with using your left hand. So turning on a light switch with your left hand is not a shinui.
Right. It depends on what other conditions.
It depends. If there's other conditions which are borderline, then the shinui will make it easier. Yeah.
If a guy does a malacha for his own benefit that disturbs you, can you ask him to undo it? If he turns on a light for his own benefit, you want it dark in the room.
And he did it?
He did it for himself. He turns on, you walk into the room, he turns on a light because he wants his light, but you the mic want it dark in that room. And turning it off isn't for him, for you.
Mustama not, even though he's the one who initiated it. Now, unless it fits into one of the permissible things, just because he did it this, or doesn't mean that he could do it now for you this.
He didn't.
What? I'm saying, just as he created the thing, the need.
Could I take, let's say, put a piece of meat in the pitch black room and tell a guy, I have a piece of meat for you on that table?
Yeah, that's what they used to do. Invite a guy in for a l'chaim. Bring him into the dark room, and the guy said, hey, I can't see the glass on the thing. So turn on the light for himself. Once it was on, you could be the hand in front of
what?
At that point, you shoot the guy, and then you turn it off.
They shoot him.
And then you could tell them, don't turn off the light. You're allowed to tell them, not to do a malach.
In the case of a pata, as you were saying that he, if you ask, hint it to the guy without asking directly, meaning you'd have cold food otherwise.
What? That's pashtus and nisur doraisa to plug in a plata or to put the juice into the electricity into the plata. Pashtus of the rice. Yontif, the shot that came up with Yontif or whatever, and I told them that they couldn't use the blotter. They had to, what's it called, go to somebody else. There was another egg, so it wasn't their whole Suda Shabbos was dependent on this, and that doesn't have that it. Pashtus is an issue of the rice to put the blotter on, an Isidoraisa can't be an animal.
A Dakta Plata or what's the difference between that and a light switch?
Light switch also can't be an animal from if it's totally dark. Couldn't do it without it. Here, the food could not have been hot without that plata. No way it would have been hot. It wasn't an addition, an enhancement. It was all or nothing. That's direct Hanov, and that's awesome.
Could you again do one of those? Tell him I'm inviting you for a hot meal tomorrow. Hot piece of schnitzel.
Yeah, so then he can only put his piece on because there it's everybody. You need more things for more people.
Well, let's say they're all on the plot already. He's just plugging in, no?
There, he's doing obviously one for him. Unless he's doing it all for himself and eats the whole thing himself.
Well, he doesn't want to take them off.
What about fresh bread? Fresh bread in the oven.
Who?
Fresh bread in the oven. Fresh bread. I mean, besides the bigger the full of the oven is, the fresh bread.
Yeah, that's a heter to do a lot, but that doesn't make a heter to do more because he's doing it for you. He's still doing it for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything in proper about letting a guy know ahead of time what the parameters are that we're going to?
If you tell him ahead of time a code, that when I say this, I mean do this, that's like pick your nose and it means to light the candle.
I mean just the background that there people will hint to him that he should take him. He should not...
He said that he's dark in here. When people said he was dark in here, he should have done another light.
He should ask what switch.
It's not derech, it's only derech remez. right? And then even if it's he knows that that's what it means, it, yes, that's okay. You can have an educated goy who's obviously, you know, the person who's a Shabbos goy knows all these things inside out. Right? I mean, been selling chametz to Mahmoud for how many years? 20-something years already? He knows the halachas better than me. One year I forgot something. He said, no, you forgot to do this. You had to call. He's already telling me what the halachas are. So after a while, you get to know, you know, what it is. As long as it's not said as a command or as a code, that when somebody will say this, that's what they mean, you should do this, then that's worse. But if it means, look, they can't tell you, they're hinting to you, and they expect you to take the hint, right, and this is what the hint means, is what you should do, that's okay. Yeah.
You can do this based on Ratzon, not Sura.
Like what?
You want it warmer. So you are allowed to based on wanting it? No.
It depends. What? If you want it lighter, and if you say it in the mutter way, and the benefit is okay, then even if you just want it, you don't need it. The things that are dependent on need, then want doesn't help. Then it has to be a need. Right? For instance, tell him to do an Isra Malacha, where there's a Tzorech Mitzvah, it has to be a Tzorech Mitzvah. It doesn't depend on your want, it depends on the need. It's Hetzed Maruba, right, then it has to be that there's a loss. So it has nothing to do with your desire one way or the other, does it fit the criteria or not. But where it doesn't need any criteria, where it fits a criteria where there's no special extenuating circumstances, then it's not the circumstance that permit it, it's your desire that's permitted.
The goy, as a matter of fact, turns off the light a bunch of times in the room where he is. He has my father. He's taking care of my father. Now, the question is that considered for his sake or for his sake?
No, that mistama is for the goy's sake, because he's taking care of your father and he wants to see what's going on too.
Yeah.
So he's not doing it only for your father. He's there too. In the Stama, that kind of case, the goy is doing it predominantly. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to, what's it called? But he wants to take care of your father in such a way that he needs the light. That's, you can also tell the goy to do something where the goy doesn't have to do the issue. For instance, I can tell the goy, wash my dishes. Now, I didn't tell you to do it with hot water. You can do it with cold water. I didn't tell you to use a sponge or whatever. You could use your hands, right, and clean the dishes. You want to do it with hot water and a sponge, because it's easier for you to do, right, that's fine. But if I tell you, wash my dishes with hot water and a sponge, that's awesome. But if I tell you to wash my dishes, and you can do it in a way that's mutter, and the goy chooses to do it in the way that's usher for their benefit, that's fine. If there's a way to do it, they have to. Same thing over here. The goy doesn't need to bring your father into this room or whatever. He can do some, whatever he has to do somewhere else with him or whatever. He chooses, look, I'd like tonight now go in this room with your father, and I need the light so I can see. That's okay. If it's not like that, and your father asks him to go into the room, he's only going in there for your father's sake, then it's a problem. But if he's deciding how he wants to take care of your father, right, so that's his prerogative. He could have done it a different way. He could have gone to a room where he decided he wants to go take him into the bedroom right now, and the light's off. He turns on. That's his problem.
Oh, he's doing it because my father... Because he's very tired, he needs to go to bed.
Then it's the regular halachas.
It could be, you might be able to see with a little less light.
But he's doing it himself. Nobody's telling him to do it.
Doesn't make a difference. You have to protest. In a case where it's usher for to be nehenda from the thing, you have to protest. There's all different sheets as what when you have to protest. But pashtus, that is halach.
He doesn't want to be nehenda from it. He just lets the guy do what he wants and not go in that room.
Who?
My father doesn't want to go into that room. He just put the guy to what he wants.
Yeah, but then your father's in the hand of him. That's awesome.
All he knows is he wants to.
That's okay. So add that dimension, right? He's a Cholashim Bosakana, for sure.
Otherwise, we'd have to go and following around. Otherwise, we'd have to
go and following around. Who said that? One second. Let's get back to the minority. What does he want to know? He wants to turn on the light.
Turn on?
Yeah, because this way your father can see, get undressed, and what's so called in the room, right? Right. father is in Chavos Shem Bosakon, and even in Sudoraisa to a Goy, whatever he does for your father.
In a case like this...
And if he does it for that, you could be the hand from it too. Because it's one life, it does make a difference. So yes, again, based on the circumstances, yeah.
In a case like this, even if you...
Do you have to stop a child, or more specifically, Etsy, telling the Filipino what exactly to do?
The
only time that
first of all, does the Filipino understand what she's saying? Honestly.
Yeah.
Really?
Of then. Okay.
She's telling.
The rabbi told me what to say, what not to say, and I
think she decided.
Yeah.
Al-Skinach, you have to stop your daughter because she's doing something that if she'd been a gadol would be also for her to do, so you can't let her do it. So Al-Skinach. So you have to stop her because of your mitzvah chinuch. Yeah.
So in this case, even if Mr. Norton Sr. or Rabbi Norton wouldn't be a Chalashem Mr. Khan, he'd be perfectly healthy, whatever. But the Filipino would...
If he'd be perfectly healthy and wouldn't be the head of Chalashem Mr. Khan, it would be also.
No, but for the Filipino...
Why is Rabbi Norton different than anybody else?
For the sake of example, he likes a valet. It's easier for the Filipino. The Filipino knows he would have to help Rabbi Norton less if the light's on, so he's doing it for his sake because it makes his life easier. He's like, oh, if the light's on now, I'm not going to have to come in the room for another 15 minutes.
If he could have done it, he could have, whatever, got him ready for bed without turning on the light. It's just easier for him to do it with the light on.
Need a case.
Then Mustamba, yeah. If not, then Vada, he's doing it for Rabbi Norton, because Rabbi Norton wants to go to bed. He doesn't want to go in the wrong room, turn on the light. But for Rabbi Norton's sake, he doesn't need it. But to make his life easier, he says, then that if that would be the mitzvah, that would be okay. If that would be the mitzvah, it would be okay. Right, that's why I have to ask a shayla, and not that I would know on the spot, but at least we'll talk it over and see what the mitzvah is. That's not so simple. But it's not, again, it's not that, well, you got to go into them and everything is fine. It doesn't, it's very few cases that's going to be okay. Right? Most things are hanoi yeshira. And then they're awesome. You can't hint to nothing. So that's why it's good to ask a shayla, because again, if there's extenuating circumstances that make it fit into one of these things, it's fine. But it's not so simple. Not simple at all.